Soon after, more sounds float across the river. O'Hara's men have marched the same 40 miles in 24 hours as the Light Corps in hopes of catching it. But the troops on this side cheer, and the Redcoats realize they are yet again too late to catch Greene's army. What now is called the Race to the Dan is over. The main body of the British Army stops short of the river, camping roughly 4 miles southwest, across and to your right. The regiment of a Scottish unit notes it had marched a total of 169 miles in 10 days. The next day, Cornwallis decides to move off. He seems unsure what to do, zigzagging, but ends up heading south to Hillsborough in hopes of gathering more Loyalist militia. He also may feel exposed here against the river as a South Carolina militia force approaches from the west and North Carolinians from the east. James Irvin Jr. reports that at some point he returned home and found that the British had reached the ferry, kept by himself and his brothers, and had destroyed their farm, burnt their fences, destroyed their crop, killed their stock, and at that point had turned back into North Carolina. Leaving behind a guard, the rest of the Continental Army moves on to our last stop on the 15th. Before leaving, Greene writes of their success to the Continental Congress and General George Washington. The army returns to its earlier campsite here on the evening of Tuesday the 20th. The next day, it reverses the scene from exactly a week earlier, with wagons, cannons, and men lining up where you stand to await their turns in the boats. With it are hundreds of Virginia militia, and more are heading south. The Continental Army, formerly the hunted, has become the hunter. If you walk to Irvin's Ferry, follow the instructions in italics at the end of this section. Otherwise, or once you get to Boyd's, follow the instructions under Boyd's Ferry, and then click its audio clip.